on today's Compassion Radio.
He said to the captain who was standing nearby, "Is it legal for you to torture a Roman citizen like this without a proper trial?" All of the soldiers who were about to whip Paul began to back away because they were afraid of the consequences for tying up and holding a Roman citizen against his will.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the latest edition of the Compassion Radio Chasing the Word series. Over the past year, we spent our Mondays following Paul and his fellow apostles on their journey to bring the gospel to the whole Roman world. Why are we doing this? Well, simple. The lessons learned are exactly the truth and power that are needed to finish the task in the 21st century. If you want to learn how to live missionally, well, you need to spend time with those who do it. And with those who have done it. Thanks for joining us on that journey. Today is part two of our discussion on chapter 22. The stage has been set, and Paul is making his case as an eyewitness of God's glory in Jesus to the entire people of Jerusalem. We'll roll back the tape a bit from last week and pick it up again where Paul is telling what happened to him in the city of Damascus after the traumatic blinding he suffered on the way there. Sandy begins in verse 12. He's gone to Damascus. What comes next?
A Jewish man living there named Ananias came to see me. He was a godly man who lived according to the law of Moses and was highly esteemed by the Jewish community. He stood beside me and said, "Saul, my brother Saul, open your eyes and see again." At that very instant, I opened my eyes and I could see. Then he said to me, "The God of our ancestors has destined you to know his plan and for you to see the Holy One and to hear his voice. For you will be his witness to every race of people and will share with them everything that you've seen and heard. So now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins as you call upon his name." Then I returned to Jerusalem, and while I was praying in the temple, I entered another realm, and I saw him. And he said to me, "Hurry and depart from Jerusalem quickly, for the people here will not receive the truth you share about me." "But Lord," I argued, "they all know that I'm the one who went into our Jewish meetings to find those who believe in you and had them beaten and imprisoned. When the blood of your witness Stephen was shed, I stood nearby in full approval of what was happening. I even guarded the cloaks of those who stoned him to death." Then Jesus said to me, "Go at once. For I am sending you to preach to the non-Jewish nations." The crowd listened attentively to Paul up to this point. But when they heard this, all at once they erupted with loud shouts, saying, "Get rid of this man. Kill him. He doesn't deserve to live." Why?
Is why in the Bible there? Or are you asking
this question? No, I'm asking why. Is it because of the Gentiles that he sent to the non-Jewish nations that they're upset with him?
I think they're upset, period, because he's not playing ball anymore. You know, he's already got a reputation for being a turncoat. He went right back into the den of thieves, you might say, right in the heart of Jerusalem again, to the temple because he wanted to pursue God there. Remember, he's been baptized. He's accepted the lordship of Jesus. What else is he going to do but go back to the places where his presence is most likely to be encountered? And he was being moved along, whether the Spirit was prodding him to go back to Jerusalem or whether he just felt a huge impulse to go back there himself. Mm-hmm. He did, and God did, in fact, speak to him in the temple.
Or he didn't know where else to go at the time.
And that's a fair thing. I think anybody who starts off in a difficult situation in their faith, if they're going to come to the Lord where they're at a crossroads or where there's an impasse in their life, some relationship been destroyed, something bad's happened in life, or something just transformational is about to happen because there's been a catharsis, something big has changed, you're going to go to the place you feel most safe. And I think he probably felt the safest with where he knew the truth to be, which is where God has said, "This is my home." And God is good enough to encounter him there in the place where he knows, but also to not make him comfortable anymore with stones. He says, "You're going after living stones," basically. And out he goes. Now, I take something else from this passage. Paul has said that every nation of the world is going to know me because of you. That's a grand statement, because obviously Paul did not go to speak to every single nation. But he went to the Gentiles that God sent him to. What it kind of tells me is this. If God is literally telling this through the lips of Paul to the people in Jerusalem, I think God is affirming that I will not stop in this movement until every last descendant of every race of people and every language and tongue does have a chance to hear the gospel, to respond to me, to know me.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the Great Commission being lived out, right?
Right.
God has commanded that we go and make disciples of every nation. Obviously, Paul did not live to every generation to see it happen, mm-hmm. but he has spiritual children. It tells me that they were never wiped out. The descendants spiritually of Paul, one to another, continue until this day.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't all wiped out in one time in history, then we started over like after Noah.
Right.
This is an eternal kingdom, and it was eternally rooted in Jesus, and it will be forever. This is the order of Melchizedek, as Jesus said. I'm of that order.
Right.
I stand apart from all history, but I am, at the same time, encompassing all of history. We as a kingdom need to capture that kind of spirit, too. We are not just the sum of all things that went before. We are the one that brings them all into completeness. If we will treat seriously our place in the eternal kingdom, that we have a place, a stake in this family, forever.
Mm-hmm.
We see it with a lot more gratitude what God has done to get to this point where we could join it.
Mm.
And we would be praying with a lot more fervor, God, you've never given up on this family. Take care of my descendants, and not just my children who were physically descended from me, but all those you bring me to be in my spiritual care, to be an honest witness for them and to them, so that they can know what I've known and experienced, and they can pass it on. Do we really pray like that? Often we are afraid to pray prayers that might require us to, quote-unquote, witness.
Right.
Because we're afraid. And we live and pray out of fear rather than out of the courageous spirit of, I'm included in something that is so, so much bigger and so much grander and wonderful. Why can we not pray prayers from time to time saying, God, whatever you want to do with my life, just do something so that others would come to know you?
I've been challenged recently to be more bold and more brave in my prayers and in my pursuit of the Lord. And I had a conversation today with a friend of mine who really challenges me to dig deeply into the Word, to ask the Holy Spirit to really give me insight into the Word without extra helps and commentaries and all that. And it's been a challenge for me because I want to read great Bible study books and I want to read great authors' commentaries a lot of time. But she's challenging me to just read the Word.
Dig it.
And to dig into the Word. To trust that the Holy Spirit is going to give me insight. And I think as we read through what Paul is saying here, that he's praying, he's asking God to give him insight. You know, he's asking the Lord to tell me what I'm supposed to do. Tell me what you want me to know. Tell me where you want me to be.
Yeah.
I'm here because this is maybe a safe place for me, but I don't want to be safe if that's not what you want for me. And so he is really seeking the Lord. And I believe when we do that in our time with the Lord, in our scripture reading, in our prayer time, we do get more brave and we do get more bold and we begin to live it out on a daily basis. It doesn't always mean that God's going to send us on a mission like he did Paul. But our mission could be our neighbor next door or meeting someone for coffee or at the grocery store or at the gas station.
Yeah, we're never going to know who our neighbor is, speaking metaphorically here, unless we ask him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the rich young ruler, we're challenged to do the same thing. If we don't know or we want to justify ourselves or we feel afraid, go ahead and ask God, who's my neighbor?
Mm.
He'll tell us. He'll tell a story about somebody that may be uncomfortable for us to hear about. At the same time, it may open our eyes to something we never thought was possible or knew existed. Do I think that people are going to be called to go reach out more aggressively to the homeless, to the mentally ill, to the stranger, to the sojourner, to the immigrant? Of course I do. Is every single person in the church going to physically go down to the border and hand out Pampers and cans of beans and rice to people that are coming to our country? Of course not. But the point is that we should be acknowledging that God does, in fact, call people to do specific things. And we should be praising that they said yes to what God wanted for them and encourage them in that. And be crazy enough to ask God ourselves, what do you have for me?
Mm-hmm.
How do I fit into this whole thing? Why was I born in this time? Why was I born to this family? How can I be effective where I am and see you at work in the places where you take me?
Mm-hmm.
if we ask those kind of questions, it's amazing how God starts answering. We've seen that so many times.
Over and over.
So that's our challenge, I think, personally, as Bram and Sandy here at Compassion Radio. If you want to ask those questions, expect God to answer. In fact, you can tell him, I'm expecting an answer from you.
Yeah.
God wants to be challenged on the things that he wants to be challenged on.
Mm-hmm.
He says, try and see if this isn't true. I mean, many times he talks about the economy of God. If you'll tithe, he says in the Old Testament, test me and see if it's not true that if you provide for me in my temple, that I'll provide for you.
Right.
Abundantly. Every one of these principles, God says, they're not really true until you've tested them in your own life. But when you do test them, you realize that there's no power there. These are principles that are very personal. They're not just general things or ideas or philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
They are ways to walk, practical advice about how to live today and how to build for tomorrow. Hi again, friends. I hope you're enjoying this special Compassion Radio series, even half as much as we have while we're creating it. Since we took responsibility for this 75-year-old ministry, Sandy and I have committed ourselves to chase the Word together in our own lives, and to challenge you, our partners, to do the same, because we can't really step out in faith and do world-changing work without it. The Word is our power and our life. I've said it many times on this program. The Word is not an it, it's a who. And that who is Jesus himself. We'll be at our best when we stick with God's Word and let him guide us where he wants us to go. You also know that the what and the where for Compassion Radio has always been at the very leading edge of where God's hand is at work, anywhere in the world that might be. Every day we invite you to join us through your faithful prayers, actions, and giving. The importance of your partnership with us in 2020 has never been greater. Just this week, our strategic ministry partner for Bible placement, John Podiety, pled with me to come join him in the Middle East this spring. He wants to show us firsthand what God is doing among refugees along the Syrian border. The church there is exploding among Muslim background believers. John wants the world to know what's really going on there, and he wants Compassion Radio to tell that story. And friends, I want to go. Wouldn't you? Every time we go to the front lines of faith, it inspires your faith and your giving to the Great Commission as much as it does ours. But I can't say yes to John until our faithful partners, and that means you, step up and make it possible. It's our strong desire to be going deeper, to go farther, to be braver than we've ever been in this year of 2020, and to bring you the stories that you just won't hear anywhere else. So I'll ask you this, will you help us do that? Your gift today is absolutely essential to make that possible, and I can't emphasize that strongly enough. Friends, I simply ask that you would keep giving so that we can give back to the world through our strategic ministry partners and to you with inspiring programming on this radio station and over the internet. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website. It's available 24/7. Our safe and secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. Of course, you can also put a stamp on an envelope and mail your gift to our Compassion Radio office, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way. Just general things or ideas or philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
They are ways to walk. Practical advice about how to live today and how to build for tomorrow. So Paul is obviously throwing down the gauntlet. So let's go ahead and move on with the rest of this chapter, honey.
Well, we've just heard from the crowd that they are in an uproar. They're shouting for Paul to be killed. Yeah. He doesn't deserve to live. And so the Roman commander steps in and
Paul is saying that big statement. God said to me, go and I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And for some reason, this really set everybody off.
Right. Hence my question, why?
Right.
I think they're upset because of Paul being sent to the Gentiles and claiming that the Gentiles now have
access,
a stake in the inheritance. that's probably upsetting to them, not wanting to share their inheritance.
Not at all.
Well, while the crowd was screaming and yelling and removing their outer garments and throwing handfuls of dust in the air in protest, the commander had Paul brought back into the compound. He ordered that Paul be whipped with a lash and interrogated to find out what he had said that so infuriated the crowd.
Obviously, he wasn't listening to the speech. He probably steps out of the room.
Well, it also says he was speaking in Aramaic.
Yeah.
So he may not have understood it.
Yeah, very good.
When the soldiers stretched Paul out with ropes, he said to the captain, who was standing nearby, "Is it legal for you to torture a Roman citizen like this without a proper trial?" When the officer heard this, he immediately went to his commander and reported it, saying, "This man is a Roman citizen. What should we do now?" The commander came to Paul and asked him, "Tell me the truth. Are you a Roman citizen?" "Yes, I am," he replied. The commander said, "I had to purchase my citizenship with a great sum of money." Paul replied, "I was born a citizen." Well, of the soldiers who were about to whip Paul began to back away because they were afraid of the consequences for tying up and holding a Roman citizen against his will.
Imagine that we live in a country where we have multiple tiers of citizenship, where you could literally buy your way in with enough money or with enough military service. Or there's another tier that's higher up, natural born citizens. Do we not seem to have that kind of attitude already in our own country?
We do.
We talk about naturalizing citizens, and it's supposed to mean they have the same nature as every citizen. In other words, it was as if you were born here. But for the most part, if people know that someone's naturalized or from another country of birth, they don't tend to be treated quite the same way.
Sadly.
Now, in this situation, the people that are occupying the Holy Land are, for the most part, the workaday. They're considered second tier, and they're the ones that have to hold down the dirty jobs around the empire. But they work their way up and eventually work their way back to Rome and be part of where the center of power is. When they encounter legal, natural-born citizens, those citizens literally have the right to complain to a judge about a naturalized citizen and demand punishment just for the sake of it.
Right.
Paul could be demanding that these men be killed even for mistreating him. He has special rights in the empire. And they're recognized as all of a sudden, man, we are about to get really lashed.
We have messed up.
Yeah. So when Paul says that, he's taking a calculated risk with these men, and he has a plan for how he's going to proceed with this. But what we're seeing here is that Paul has never yet pulled his trump card in this game.
Until now.
Yeah.
The next day, the commander ordered that the high priest and the supreme Jewish council be convened because he wanted to find out exactly why the Jews were accusing Paul of this. So he had him untied and brought out to stand before them all. This ends the chapter here, but it's interesting that this whole big scene has happened where the crowd gets in an uproar at the temple.
Yeah.
The Roman soldiers are dispatched to go and keep the peace because there's a riot starting.
Right. And he's walking a tightrope now.
Yes. Yeah. They arrest Paul, mistaken identity. Literally carry him back to the garrison. Paul asked to speak. He essentially gives his testimony of conversion.
Yep.
And incites a riot again.
Yes.
So he's playing some stuff here a little bit.
Yeah.
Perhaps he kind of maybe knew that this would incite a riot again.
Perhaps.
They drag him inside and they're going to whip him. Because he's obviously a pot stirrer, we would call him.
And then he announces he's a citizen of the empire.
Right, he makes this announcement. And now all of the soldiers are terrified.
Right. But yet, the next day, he's still being tied up. He had to be untied at that point. So it seems to me that the garrison commander is saying, all this stuff may be true, but if I untie him in front of everybody else, they could storm our garrison and kill us all. So he's got to play this very carefully. And perhaps even ask permission from Paul, "I need to keep you tied up or we're going to get overrun." Something like that. Even be pleading with him.
Right.
"Don't kill us all by the way you act next."
Maybe even for his own safety.
So whatever the reasons were and how he went about it, it seems odd without knowing the backstory that he would still be in shackles, so to speak, when he's just shown that he's a citizen of the kingdom. And in doing that, something is being negotiated here. And we can see that from those little details. So he's now facing a journey, because that's going to be talked about real soon here, what happens next.
So the commander wants to know what the big deal is and why this group of people, why this crowd is so incensed right. over Paul's presence, even. We'll find out in chapter 23 what happens at this big meeting. Yeah.
Because there's got to be a reason why these people are acting like crazies. As outsiders and imperial drones basically holding the fort down in this country, everywhere they turn around, something crazy is going on. Mm-hmm. This is a strange religion, strange people. They're always upset about the strangest things. Can't they just let bygones be bygones? Right. Let us worship our gods in their temple city. No, yeah. they can't do that. Yeah. All this kind of stuff is constantly an agitation for them. And yet, they're also charged with keeping the peace, and they are the legal authorities mm-hmm. as imposed upon the Jewish people. They didn't like it, but they were still the authorities that they had. So everybody's stuck.
Yeah.
And it seems to be that Jesus wants us stuck sometimes. Let's pray about that as we wrap up this chapter, honey. Okay. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your word again that reminds us that you are very active in the affairs of men and that you are active across the scope of eternity into our history and bringing us to a glorious future. But there's going to be lots of very interesting twists along the way. And we're reading about that right now in the life of Paul as he prepares and sets his eye on Rome, sets his face like flint to go that direction, cutting through all of the distractions, all of the naysayers, all of the grief that will be facing him and people that love him as he faces what he has to do next. But he faces it. And we thank you, Father, that he did. That he was obedient to you in difficult circumstances, because his life, his testimony, his very act of showing up and persisting and pursuing you, of chasing your word across the Roman Empire, gave us the faith that we literally are speaking in and speaking from right now. I pray, Father, that you would raise up more and more courageous, brave people that understand that there will be costs to being faithful to you. And that the faith is based on love, not on hate. Mm. It's based on the courage of the Spirit to bring all men to you, mm-hmm. not to repel men from you. And those things are often very hard to discern, that we're doing it right and not from our own strength or our own wisdom. But we do ask you, Father, like Paul did day in, day out, lead me. Mm-hmm. Lead me where you want me to go. And when the time comes, let me speak of you to others as one who knows you. Mm-hmm. Help us to know you in a way that really brings about transformation in situations and diffuses conflict, creates peace in its wake because of who you are. Mm-hmm. And where there's going to be conflict in your name, if there has to be suffering, that you would allow us the privilege and the power to endure it. Mm-hmm. And these things we ask you because you want us to be part of you and be part in you. So we ask you in your name that you would make us ready for the action ahead and that you would use us in our generation to help fulfill your calling to reach every man, every woman and child on this planet with that love that is Jesus. Mm-hmm. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, friends, for joining us for chapter 22 of Chasing the Word. We'll be back with more in chapter 23 as we get ready for the final stretch, we might say. And it's great to have you all along for the ride. Join with somebody else soon. Sit down and talk about the Word together. Maybe choose an epistle and start reading that together, because you'll find out so much about the Word of God just by hearing someone else process it and pour it through their heart, like the filter that the heart truly is.
Mm. Find a friend that challenges you in the Word.
We'll see you next week. Our sovereign victorious is marching. He has been We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way. Friends, it's an honor to have you with us each and every day on this program, especially for this very personal journey into the book of Acts. As we close the program today, can I ask you for something? Let us know how we're doing. We can't discover what moves you most and speak to the things that move your heart unless you tell us. Would you do that today? Simply call or write us through email, our website, or our P.O. Box. By the way, here's my direct email, which you can use anytime. BramFloria@CompassionRadio.com. That's spelled BramFloria@CompassionRadio.com. Now, to reach us 24/7, to learn more about our history, our projects, to hear our podcast, and to make your love gift, simply go to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is manned during business hours Pacific time at 1-800-868-2478. If you get voicemail, just leave a full message, and we will call you back as soon as the office is open. You can also write us and send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you, friends. Come back and join us for tomorrow's Compassion Radio. I'm Bram Floria, wishing you a great day in the Lord.